Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y, so it's time for Wise Cracking with Winter, Junior Edition. Today, I'm in the hot seat, asking the questions. Okay, so with me today, I have Mike Winter. Would you like to introduce yourself? Mike Winter.
Well, I don't have to introduce myself because you already introduced me. Thank you. Oh. Hey, it's nice to be on Wise Cracking with Winter. So are you going to host the whole show today?
Not the whole show. I'm not. Well, most of it. Some of it. Yep.
Most of the show. All of the show.
Not all of it.
Because you woke me up from a nap and said that, Dad, I want an opportunity to drive the mothership today. I want to host Wisecracking with Winter. Call it Wisecracking with Winter Jr.
You take naps at 9 p.m.?
Yeah, when you're 46 years old.
Okay.
And you worked all day? Yeah, you take naps.
All right.
Okay, so she's all yours. Go ahead.
I'm hosting it till we pick the games because I can't do that.
What games are those?
I don't know. What game are they?
Are you talking about the NFL playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to pick those today for show.
Yep, but I'm not doing that because I don't know how to do that. I just picked the prettiest color. Okay. So I have to start with politics because you're a politic kind of person, right?
What exactly is a politic kind of person? Is that somebody wears like a certain type of clothes?
No, you don't like to talk about it, but when it comes up, you'll argue with it. Okay?
Well, it depends on if you're disagreeing with me or not, right?
Exactly. When you get into a political argument, they're always on the different side, so that's why you get into an argument. Well, I just want to...
Wait a minute. Before we do this...
Okay.
I'm assuming you want to talk about what happened on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Wednesday was a really tough day for me. I think it was a tough day for a lot of Americans because Golden State lost to the Los Angeles Clippers 101 to 108. I don't know what happened to Golden State. Golden State used to be one of the best NBA teams ever. I thought it was going to be like an all millennium team. You got Steph Curry, right? You've got everybody else they pay on that team. You got Green. You got the other two guard, Thompson. What happened to the Golden State Warriors? I mean, they used to be awesome, and they lose to the Los Angeles Clippers 101 to 108. I didn't even like the uniforms they're wearing either. Golden State is 4-4 now. I thought Golden State would have been 8-0 in this brand new NBA season, and they are 4-4, if you can wrap your mind around that. So, yeah, that happened on Wednesday, and that's... You know, I think most of America, like myself, is pretty bewildered. Is that what you're talking about for Wednesday?
No. Nope. Negative.
Wednesday, January 6th, 2021.
Correct.
What else happened that day?
Well, the Trumpers invaded the White House.
So tell me the story.
Everyone knows the story. I just want your opinion on it.
Not everybody knows it because there's some people in nursing homes that have no idea what's going on. They don't even know what day it is today.
I'm sure old people in nursing homes aren't listening to your podcast.
I'm sure.
So tell them what happened on Wednesday.
I don't even know the whole full story.
Just start at the beginning, 8 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. Okay.
I just want your opinion on it.
We're going to do it right.
Do what right?
Or we're not going to do it at all. Okay, so you got your timeline in front of you. Do it for me. Do it!
Okay, 1 p.m. A joint session of Congress begins to tally the Electoral College votes, with Vice President Pence presiding.
Presiding.
Mm-hmm. As it begins, Pence releases a letter to Congress declaring that he does not have
good luck with this one.
Unilateral authority to overturn the election result.
Do you know what that means?
No.
That means the vice president cannot overturn the results of the election. He can't just decide, I don't like the results, so I'm going to overturn it. He can't throw it out. Okay. Read along. 111.
11 minutes later, President Trump's speech to supporters on the ellipse outside the White House ends. During the roughly hour-long speech, Trump urges his followers to march to the Capitol and says at one point, "You will never take back our country with weakness." Trump says he will be there with them, but never joins the crowd.
It's important that we do it this way, Emma, because we're doing the who, what, when, where, why, and how. We're going to do that, and then if you have an opinion afterwards, you can give me an opinion. So,
well, this whole thing was to get your opinion.
You'll get it after you read all of the facts. 113.
I'll read that part. 113. Arizona Rep. Paul Gosar flies the first objection to state electoral college certification from his home state. Democrat Joe Biden won the state by 10,457 votes. The objection needs to be joined by a U.S. senator, which it is. The objection could then be debated up for 2 hours. Republican House members and senators threatened to do this for up to half a dozen states. The tactic amounts to not more than a delay, however, as the end result will be President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris being declared the winners again.
That is correct.
All right, here we go. 2:07 p.m., so a little later.
This is where the shite hits the fan.
It is, yeah. All right. 2:07. The mob of Trump supporters breach the steps on the east side of the Capitol. 2:16, the first scenes of the rioters inside the building. And then there's a picture, but you guys obviously can't see that. 2:24, Trump tweets. Okay, can we just say, why does Trump feel the need to tweet everything that is on his mind? Everything.
I can't pretend to know how Trump thinks, but he is directly reaching the American public and, well, the world when he's using Twitter. Well, it used to be that way, and now Twitter will put banners underneath his tweets if they think that it's inaccurate. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. This may be false news.
Mm-hmm.
Now they add that on his tweets. But before, I mean, it was pretty brilliant in the beginning, if you ask me. I mean, he was tweeting all day long, every day, every single thought in his head, which, you know, maybe he didn't need to do that, but it was pretty ingenious at first, but, you know, that went off the rails. So, go ahead.
Okay. I already said that. 2:24, Trump tweets that Vice President Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done. During Trump's speech earlier on the ellipse, he also targeted Pence, saying, "We're going to have to fight much harder, and Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. If he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country, because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution." 2:33. Does that mean Senator? S-E-N.
Senator Ted
Cruz of Texas, one of the senators who said he would sign onto objections of accepting state certification, sends out a frustrating email.
A fundraising email?
What? Where?
It's fundraising email, not frustrating.
Well, I swiped by that.
We got to get the facts correct.
He asks people to stand with him in his fight to reject electors. An aide, right? To Cruz then told Political that the email was an automated message and that he was dismayed by what was happening. He would not send this out, the aide said. How many more of these we got?
You can read until 3:13.
2:38. For the first time, Trump tells his supporters to be peaceful. Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. He tweets, "They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful." 2:42. The House of Senate go into lockdown. Okay. 3 p.m. Gunshots heard. Capitol Police shot a woman who later died. A total of 4 people in total died related to the events. 308. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy,
Republican California. That's what it's short for, honey. The R's are Republican. The D's are Democrats. Okay.
Okay. Confirms reports of shots fired on Fox News and says he called the president, urging him to call for calm. 313. Trump puts out another tweet asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Last one. 336. The White House press secretary says on Twitter that the National Guard was on its way at Trump's direction. A Defense Department official, right? Yeah, okay. Later said the Guard was authorized days ago, but it turns out the Guard had only been authorized to work with police at intersections and at metro stations. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel? Close enough. Bowser said...
You gotta get her name right.
It's a girl?
Yeah, Muriel.
Muriel.
Yes.
Said she asked for more help from the Guard as tensions rose, but the White House was late in responding. All right, what's your opinion on this whole thing?
Okay. Well, I made you earn it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
You gave me the who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Yeah.
Here's my opinion. There's been a lot of rotten things that have happened this year.
Correct.
And I'm counting this as part of 2020. I know it's a week into 2021, but I'm not going to start off my year with this. So 2021 starts on January 7th. I don't count January 6th as part of 2021. I think what I saw was a bunch of people that got really worked up by a man that has been lying to them for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
20,000 or so lies.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say this to be fair and balanced. I do have Republican friends.
Mm-hmm.
Not every Republican
is a Trump
is an extremist.
Yeah,
there's extremists on the left side too. They're called Antifa.
Yeah.
On the right hand side, you have the Proud Boys and the there's white supremacist groups. And so on and so on and so on. And some of those people that invaded the Capitol have later been identified as being part of extremist groups.
Mm-hmm.
QAnon.
Antifa, right?
No, Antifa would be the left side.
Yeah, I thought there was people saying that they're part of it.
There were people saying that Antifa had probably infiltrated this protest and was instigating these people to run into the Capitol. And until I see some kind of piece of news that says we just found by going through all the faces and people that were at the Capitol that this guy is known to be a part of Antifa, but he was posing as a MAGA. I'm just going to say a MAGA supporter.
Okay.
Instead of Trump, or you can say Trumpers, I guess. I haven't seen that. I mean, I've seen ringleaders identified and they're part of the right extremist wing. Not all Republicans are bad. What happened was disgusting. And just like the people that burned down Lake Street in Minneapolis and started fires in Portland and, you know, everywhere else, they all need to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that Capitol building should be in jail.
Some of them are.
Good. Those aren't patriots. I'm not sure what they are. You know, they're extremists, just like the Antifa people that, you know, did what they did. So they all belong in jail. But there's plenty of good Republicans out there, and there's plenty of good Democrats out there that protest and don't do things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So as a 15-year-old, and I know you're doing the interviewing today, but as a 15-year-old,
Not yet.
Well, just about. Next week, happy birthday!
Are we doing another birthday podcast?
Possibly.
Are we saving this?
Possibly. But as a 15-year-old, watching that, how did that make you feel as an American?
Confused. I don't know why people feel the need to do that stuff. You and Mom asked me a lot if I was scared. And my teachers even asked me, well, one of my teachers, she likes to talk about that stuff. I don't know if she's supposed to, but they all ask me if I'm scared about what happened. And my teachers tell me in my class, like, don't let this stop what you want to do in the future, you know? It didn't scare me. It really just confused me. I don't really know how to explain it. I didn't know how it started until, like, just now.
Just now?
Well,
when I made you read? Why?
I knew it was happening. I didn't know, like, why it was happening. I knew who it was happening for. I just didn't know how it started. So.
And that's a problem of cable news. Were you watching CNN or Fox or network news? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember? You don't remember if it was CBS?
It wasn't CBS. I think it was CNN.
Okay.
Channel 4.
Channel 4 is CBS.
Okay.
Cable news tends to give more opinion on top of facts, but then more opinion and then some facts and then more opinion and then some facts. Network news is a little better, was a little more even. It's really tough finding a great news station where you're not listening to more opinion than actual news.
Right.
But if people are looking out there, I mean, here's what I do personally. When I get tired of listening to CNN's opinions, or, you know, I'm not a big Fox fan, but that's just like CNN, but the right side.
Mm-hmm.
WGN offers who, what, when, where, why, and how with no opinions. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going on. That's it. Or you can watch the BBC. Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know what this is? Can you name this song?
That would be a negative.
You cannot name that tune.
No.
That's the national anthem of Great Britain. So you can watch BBC.
Is that in Great Britain?
Yes. British Broadcasting Corporation.
I love their accents. That'd be so fun to watch.
You can watch them. I mean, their BBC America is on cable and satellite and YouTube. People can watch the BBC, too, for another nation's kind of neutral description of the news. And I have been known to watch the BBC. You can watch Reuters on YouTube. That's out of Britain, too. Nowadays, you guys have it so much better because you can jump on YouTube and there's all these avenues of where you can get your news and you don't have to just rely on CNN, Fox, or the network channels. So I encourage you when you don't think you're getting, if you think you're getting more opinion than actual facts, jump to one of those things.
Well, the problem is I should start watching news more than I do. I don't watch it very often.
Do you rely on Wisecracking with Winter for all your news?
No, absolutely not.
Because that would be a mistake.
Yeah, I know. Are we ready to move on?
Sure, we can move on.
Okay. Now, aside from politics, let's take a break and let's start talking about the history behind your podcast. Okay?
It's time for This Moment in History, brought to you by your friends over at Carpenter Realty. Carpenter Realty, Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty, Indianapolis, Indiana. Use him for all of your real estate needs.
Okay, what's the question again?
Well, I didn't say it yet. Now I lost it because you did the history thing.
Well, we got to have an ad. You got to pay for this, right?
Well, let's let the viewers know, or listeners, whatever you want to call them.
They're listeners.
Listeners?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you start this podcast and where did you get the idea from to start one?
I used to do public access television.
Yep.
And after 3 years, that fizzled out. Television is a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Or so I've heard.
Yes, yeah. It's a lot of work. And, you know, we've just kind of fizzled out, and I still wanted to entertain myself and other people. And 6 years ago, I was listening to podcasts already. They weren't as popular as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and sought out the help of my good friend Mitchell Hoggerud, who is a computer IT expert, and he helped me out with a website.
Yeah.
But I still didn't have a name for the show.
Mm-hmm.
The person who named Wisecracking with Winter is Erin Hoggerud, Mitch's wife.
Oh, wow.
I did not name this show. She did.
Where did she come up with that?
I don't know where Erin came up with it. But Mitch's wife is the one who named this show.
Who came up with the logo?
The logo. I did a horse trading deal for the logo. Do you know what horse trading is?
You gave someone something, so they drew you a logo.
There's a design firm in Chicago that I traded ad time with. Like I did commercials for their graphic design company.
Mm-hmm.
In return, they designed the Wisecracking with Winter logo that you see behind you there on the wall.
Did you pick that out, or did they just make it up for you?
They gave me a bunch of different designs, and that's the one I picked.
They did a good job.
Yeah, it's pretty iconic.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
What took you so long to start a podcast after you ended your public access TV show? What took you so long to start one?
I'm talking to her. Time. I'm a father. I had things to do that were a little more important than starting up a podcast. Because back then it was a lot more work than it is now. I mean, there weren't all the avenues that people have. I mean, it's just a lot easier now than it was then. So, no, it was a time issue. And I didn't know how. A lot of people didn't know how.
Yeah.
So once I figured it out and started going, but, you know, it takes time. But I'm a dad first, mm-hmm. So that's why it wasn't immediate.
All right. Well, thanks for answering that.
Well, you're welcome. I don't mind answering questions, as long as you're not the cops, right?
Okay, next. This one might seem a little stupid, but I'm actually, like, wondering. So, you've always called the studio the Funhouse, right?
Yes.
The Funhouse has been two different locations. Number one.
Don't tell people that. They think it's just one place, and I've been here the whole time.
Okay, well, sorry, I hurt their feelings now. Okay, number one, how did you come up with the name? And number two, why did you decide to leave it when you got the different location? Why did you change it?
The first location was at a house in a suburb of Minneapolis, mm-hmm. where I used to live with you and your mother. I'm divorced now. So when the show first began, I did the show out of your toy room.
Correct.
We had a toy room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only space in the house that I could set up a desk and the microphones and have a space of completely of, well, I still shared it with somebody else. I can't have anything for me.
Oh, that's coming up.
There's still toys. Anyway, I called it the Fun House because there was toys on these shelves that went around the room, all mm-hmm. surrounding me in like little kids' toys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was called the Fun House.
That's really creative, actually. That just like popped in your mind?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's cool. Okay, now getting onto the track of you can't get anything, apparently. So, I suck with decisions. But when it comes to animals, I can make them in a heartbeat, right? So, listen, don't make the face.
What face?
Your face, okay?
Oh, I didn't know it was an actual thing.
Well, it is. Is there a way that your listeners can contact you?
Well, yeah.
Like email, like
they can contact me on every single social media app. Twitter,
Instagram, Facebook, you know, all the main ones. And then I have an email to wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com where they can contact me if they want to.
Does anybody ever contact you?
Yes. Yes.
Other than ads?
Yes.
Like fans?
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to know, we were looking into maybe getting guinea pigs, right?
What does that have to do with anything?
Neither. We're not naming our guinea pigs Greg. So
I think if we do end up buying guinea pigs, you have to buy two because you can't have one guinea pig because the other, it'll get lonely.
Well, you want it to hang itself in its cage.
Why would it hang itself?
It's a guinea pig.
It's happened
before. If there's not another guinea pig, it's going to kill itself. So that's like $80 in guinea pigs. I need $40 in guinea pigs. I need one pig, but I got to get two
pigs. Okay, you can have a depressed pig.
Otherwise, it gets suicidal.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me.
Well, yeah. It is insane.
And yes, they're both going to be named Greg.
Greg and Greg?
Yes, of course. Why would you give them two different names? Just Greg and Greg.
Greg is our inside joke because it came from a video game where he named a horse Greg.
Yeah.
So now everything we see, we should name Greg, according to Dad.
Yes, two guinea pigs named Greg.
So I was thinking maybe your viewers can email you and give us some name ideas. So they can be a part of our life.
Here's the thing. They can go ahead and do that, but what if my landlord says, you're never no goddamn guinea pigs in the goddamn house? The landlord being the big G.
I don't know. We'll butter him up tomorrow.
You can butter him up like an old piece of bread.
I'm not buttering up. You're helping
me. You better slather on that butter nice and thick. I'm telling you right now, if you want to get Greg 1 and Greg 2 in this house.
You're helping me. Big time. Okay. Just want to throw that out there.
Right.
Last. Hopefully, my data here isn't wrong. But how do you feel about how do you feel the Vikings are doing so far? And they're 7-9, correct?
Yeah, the season's over.
Okay. And I read on Google that they are in third place for the NFC North.
That's the division they play in.
You've always stuck by them, no matter how trashy they've played.
And I always will.
So do you think they played fair this year? And did they deserve the wins that they got?
I think the Vikings played extremely fair this year. That's a great question. I think every team they played against cheated, is what I think. I think there was a lot of cheating going on this year in the NFL. And you know what? Everybody's interested in the Capitol and what happened there. I think we need to start talking about all the teams that cheat against the Vikings, because I saw nothing but cheating. And that's why they're 7-9. It was because of cheating.
Well, they made it. They're in third place. That's pretty good.
They made it to what? They're home. Just like everybody else now. They're not going to the NFL playoffs. They're
Obviously not
in the playoffs.
Obviously.
Obviously. Because of cheating.
Okay.
Widespread cheating!
The only team that gets away with cheating, well, there's two teams that cheat every week and get away with it.
Are you going to say the Packers?
Green Bay Packers, number one. Kansas City Chiefs, number two.
Oh.
Done.
That's right. I've seen some damn cheating before. And there's some cheating going on down in Missouri.
Wow. All right.
You wanted the shocking stuff. I mean, you wanted me for an interview.
I'm not the one that's going to be mad about that.
You're getting the shocking stuff. You're getting the revelations today. You're getting the revelations.
Well, that's going to wrap up my questions. Now, I'm giving it to you for the game picks, because I can't do that.
Well, we can't do the game picks.
Why not?
You don't do the game picks without producer Political Paul, right?
Right.
So don't you think we ought to give Political Paul, producer Paul, a ring so we can do the game picks?
I think so.
Okay.
Alcoholics! That's the drink of the streets!
Alcoholics.
What's up?
For real motherfuckers.
You being marketed at now, homie.
For shizzle.
Alcohol is a unique malt beverage.
A combination.
foundation of everything that makes a memorable evening.
Malt liquor and caffeine.
Malt liquor, caffeine, janky than a motherfucker.
Just a little cuckoo for me.
It's a good time blackout in a can.
What's up?
You blacking out, asshole.
I'm blacking out.
Alcohol keeps the party going.
Even if you won't remember any of it. That's what's up.
You do everything in your car, from talking to friends to watching a movie to turning tricks with a coworker. So why should you get out of your car to eat? At Up and Atom, we're from a time when America didn't worry about global warming, cholesterol, or who could vote. Drive into Up and Atom today. Up and Atom, food from when we were morally superior.
Women, dieting is so hard. There are lots of delivery diets that deliver food each day, but don't stop you from cheating. Isn't it time you try something just a little different? At Vinewood Health, we not only give you the carrot, we also give you the stick. Our trained counselors spend the day with you to offer the guidance and reassurance to keep you on the right track.
You're gonna eat that? You fucking pig! You disgust me!
With their firm but encouraging guidance, the true thinner you will soon emerge. Paranoid, neurotic, and the proud owner of a new food disorder.
You have to associate food with pain and a beating. Food is your enemy! Defeat it!
You have no self-control. Thanks to us, all you need is self-loathing. Vinewood Health. Beauty inside and out, or your money back.
You fat whore!
Contact Vinewood Health today.
We all care about the environment, some more than others, especially those of us on the West Coast. But places thousands of miles away have water that is our birthright. We're San Andreas Water and Power. Without our tireless efforts to keep the water and subsidies flowing, San Andreas could dry up like a woman in her 50s. No green lawns, no swimming pools, no lush golf courses in the desert. Sure, you may have to pay the piper sometime, but let's all work together to make sure it's not just yet. San Andreas Water and Power.
The video game of the year.
Roger that, Bravo Sierra. We've got some insurgents killing orphans, and they've got some nerve toxin and a nuke and a random flashback level in which JFK and Castro duke it out on the moon.
Righteous Slaughter 7.
Copy that, Red Leader. Call in the airstrike.
Righteous Slaughter 7. The realistic art of contemporary killing.
How do you kill?
Rated PG. Pretty much the same as the last game.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are done doing the sad stuff, and now it's time to do the real important stuff. Right, Emma?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for the NFL segment brought to you by your friends over at Evolve Entertainment. That's Evolve Entertainment out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, your one-stop shop for all things entertainment. You can find them on Facebook. That's Evolve MN. On Facebook. Also, Paul Lambie over there at Carpenter Realty. That's Paul Lambie. You know him. He's over there at Carpenter Realty in Indianapolis. And, of course, Who Hurt You Verde Sauce. Who Hurt You Verde Sauce. If you're interested in trying that out, you can find them. Emma, do you like Verde Sauce?
What is that?
It's like a hot salsa.
No.
Oh. Well, for those of you that enjoy hot salsa and would like to give it a try, you can find them on Facebook. That's Who Hurt You Verde Sauce. Now, if Paul's done moving computers around and microphones and whatever else he's doing, I'll bring him up. Producer Paul Lambie! Are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're great. We are
great. How's the fun house?
The fun house is still standing strong and straight.
Nice and cozy. You got a fire in the old fireplace.
Yeah, we got an old fire in the gas furnace.
Nice. Cracks in the heat exchangers. The little flames coming out the top.
Hopefully not. No. Mm.
Okay, good, yeah. It's probably for the best. So what is it? Is it NFL picks time?
It is NFL picks time, sir.
Oh, you want a wrap up of the regular season?
Yeah, let's get a wrap up of the regular season standings for the
Patriots. So we haven't done standings in a couple weeks. I was 4 games under 500, 62-66. You were lagging behind.
Wait, what's my record?
You were 15 games under at 56-71. Now, this was 2 weeks ago, so things could have changed. You remember, Justin had come in for 1 week, and he was 9-7, and Emma was out leading the pack at 18-12.
Okay.
Well, week 15, I went 8-6, but you, my friend, were the big winner in week 15. You went 10-4.
That's right!
Emma had a little trouble. She only won 3 versus 11 losses. And Justin.
It's just what, 10.
Justin. Justin. He won 4 and lost 10. So the two that had winning records no longer do. Then we went to week 17. I picked 7 right out of 15. You picked 6 right out of 15. And then we had special guest picker Victoria, who, can you believe it? She picked 10 winners out of 15.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
So, unfortunately, I think we had that rule in the Wisecracking NFL picks bylaws that said you have to pick at least 2 weeks in order to be eligible for the season championship, right?
Yeah,
that's
what? Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah, so when you look at the other pickers, Justin actually finished up with a 433 winning percentage in his 2 weeks, and then we had Mike, who had a winning percentage of 462. Then in her 3 weeks, Emma managed to have a winning percentage of 477. And finally, yours truly, the supreme wisecracking picker at 490. That's right. I picked against the spread correctly 49% of the time.
It's BS.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah, that's not too bad.
I mean, some people say you could flip a coin and probably hit 50%, but, you know, they don't realize how much stress we're under when we make these picks, I don't think.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. I'm really proud. Can't wait for the trophy to arrive. But, hey, I don't live in the past. I focus on the now. And the now is Wild Card Weekend. Are you guys ready to pick
Emma?
NFL Wild Card Weekend matchups?
Are you ready to pick, Emma?
Of course.
Okay, Paul, go ahead.
All right, first up, we've got the Indianapolis Colts traveling to Buffalo to take on the division-winning Bills. Buffalo is a 6.5-point favorite. I'll start it out. I'm going to take the Colts to keep it close, at least. Mike?
I am going to go with the Buffalo Billy Rubens, my friend. Buffalo is hot like fire, the people's desire. Everybody wants a piece of Buffalo. Everybody loves Buffalo. Everybody believes in Buffalo.
This is not
the Scott Norwood days of the 90s on the tundra of Buffalo. This is not the Jim Kelly days or the Thurman Thomas days or the somebody else who played on the team
Don
days.
Don
Beebe days. This is the Allen days, and I'm going with Buffalo. Emma?
The Colts.
Why do you like the Colts? Deep analysis.
They're a well-known team. Yep.
A well-known team from Indianapolis. The Colts.
That's right. They've won 2 Super Bowls in their franchise history. And Buffalo has won 0. So we'll see if that factors in. Next up, we have the Los Angeles Rams traveling north to Seattle to take on Mike's Sea Chickens. Seattle is a 3-point favorite. Mike, what say you?
Give me the Rams all. I'm sorry. What am I thinking? What am I talking about? Give me the Sea Chickens. Give me those Sea Chickens. I love them against the Rams. The Rams have that piece of hot garbage, that dumpster fire that cost me the fantasy football championship. Goff as the quarterback. And as a result, I do not believe in the LA Rams this year. Give me those sea chickens all day long.
Emma?
The sea chickens.
All right. That one's unanimous. I think Seattle's too good, too experienced at home to fall to the Rams. I think they're going to cover that one handily. The Tampa Brady Buccaneers actually have to go on the road and face the 7-9 football team from Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. football team is plus 8.
Of course they are
an 8-point underdog. Emma, who do you like?
Not
Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay.
Or the Washington football team?
Probably Tampa Bay.
Probably Tampa Bay. We're gonna put it in ink. So you got to be sure.
I'm very sure.
All right. I am in agreement. I think Brady's going to do what he often does in the playoffs, and that's light up the competition. Some people will hate it, but that's just the way it is. Mike?
Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all day long. I'm not even sure that Washington should be in the playoffs after the Eagles put in a piece of garbage to throw the game.
Who was that guy? I forget.
I don't even know.
He was going to be somebody someday.
No.
Instead, they have a quarterback who still might be somebody in Jalen Hurts. But
right.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre taking him out.
The Eagles put in Jerry Seinfeld.
All right.
So, no, it's definitely Tampa Bay in a laugher.
That's two straight unanimous picks. Are we on to something?
I think we are.
Are we all on something?
We're on to something.
Okay, moving on to the Sunday slate of games. First up, the Baltimore Ravens at the division-winning AFC South Tennessee Titans. Titans at home are a 3-point underdog. I can't say I'm sure on this one. I've gone back and forth, but I think Tennessee is going to make it happen somehow. They are up and down. We don't know which team will show up, but hopefully the team that actually plays decent football. I'll take Tennessee plus 3. Mike?
Give me Tennessee. That running back that they have is an unstoppable force. What is his name again?
King Henry.
King Henry the King Henry the Eighth. I am. King Henry. King. He's amazing. He's a locomotive. They can't stop him. You can't stop that guy. I got to go with the Titans. The Ravens, they're nice. It's a good team. They're nice. But I think the Titans just have too much. They have a better pocket passer. And what's that guy's name again?
Tannehill.
Tannehill. And I love their running back. So, yeah, give me Tennessee. Emma?
You got him. Emma, what do you think? Is Derrick Henry going to stiff arm his way to the next round of the playoffs, or is Lamar Jackson going to lead the Baltimore Ravens to a victory of more than 3 points?
Put me with Tennessee.
Wow. Unanimous again. Okay. The second game on Sunday features the number 7 seed wild card Chicago Bears taking the what is that train called? There's a song about that train that goes down to New Orleans.
The A train?
Yeah, you know it. The Bears take that train to the city of New Orleans, and they get 10 points. They're a 10-point underdog at the Superdome. Mike, what do you like?
New Orleans. Like? Based on what I've seen out of the Bears last week, I got to go with New Orleans. It was a laugher against the Green Bay shit Packers. And New Orleans has as good an offense, I'd say, as the Packers, if not better. Give me New Orleans in a laugher.
Mike's got New Orleans in a laugher. Emma, what do you say?
The Bears.
What? Why?
You gotta say why.
Aren't they from Wrigley Field?
That would be the Cubs.
What? Then what's the difference?
Chicago Bears play at Soldier Field.
The Bears are full grown.
Are they from the same city?
Yeah, the Windy City, Chicago.
Okay, well, they are connected with gum, so then.
Okay.
Right. Emma's got the Bears. I'm going to disagree with Mike on this one. I mean, the Bears certainly are capable of looking terrible and have done that many times this season, but they were in that game against the Packers. They were down only 21-16, and they had the ball deep in Green Bay territory with a chance to take the lead. They turned the ball over on downs. Bad play calling. Hopefully they'll straighten out the play calling this week and not collapse like they did at the end of that game. I'll take the Bears and the 10 points. Finally, the Sunday night matchup, rounding things out this weekend, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, a rematch from week 17. Cleveland is a 6-point underdog at Heinz Field. Emma, let's start with you. Who do you like, the Cleveland Browns plus 6 or the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 6?
Steelers.
Emma likes the Steelers. What do you like about the Steelers, Emma?
I don't know. I don't even know who they are.
All right. You're honest. I like it. You'll learn to lie at some point, and it'll be more entertaining, but we'll take it for now.
Okay.
My pick, I much like the Baltimore-Tennessee game, I've gone back and forth on this one. I could see Cleveland just not even showing up, but I think they will show up this time. I think it's time for them to actually win a playoff game. I don't know how long it's been. Surely a really long time. And if they don't succeed in winning, I think they keep it close. Maybe they get ahead early and blow it at the end, but they keep it within 6. Mike?
Definitely give me the Browns. I like the Brownies. I think they're going to definitely win in the first round of the playoffs this year. I like the cut of their jib. I like their swagger. I like their young team. And I think Pittsburgh is getting old. Roethlisberger is definitely showing his age. And those wide receivers that he had.
Those are young guys, though.
Yeah, they just kind of fell off. They fell off. They let me down for fantasy football, and I know nobody wants to talk fantasy football.
It's all about your fantasy football.
Yeah,
team,
they really let me the fuck down, and I'm
this
not.
This is a grievance week of
yes,
picks.
It is, and I'm not betting on Pittsburgh to win jack shit. They get knocked out by the Browns.
All right, well, that wraps it up. 6 games. Follow your favorite picker and head straight to your local. Under the table bookmaker, or if you're in one of those select states that's been at the forefront of legalizing sports gambling, just log on to your app. Make your picks.
Fantastic. Okay, Emma and I discussed what happened on the 6th of January in D.C. We discussed it at length.
Oh, the attempted coup?
So I thought, because you stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning watching the news and doing notes and or making mental notes about it, I thought I would give you 2 minutes of uninterrupted airtime to say whatever you want about what happened on the 6th of January in Washington, D.C. So now I'm going to turn my mic off. Warning, warning. Warning to everybody out there that doesn't like political talk. That's going to get real political. So go ahead, Paul. Say what your piece.
Oh, wow. You really put me on the spot. I wasn't prepared for this. But, I mean, everybody's seen it by now. Obviously, it was a sad situation with the president inciting his followers to go over to the Capitol and overturn the not stolen election It's ridiculous. But that goes to show, if you lie to people long enough and keep repeating the lie, you can get people to believe anything. I think it was sad to see how the Capitol Police weren't prepared and basically allowed themselves to be walked over by this mob, which, you know, we know that wouldn't have happened if the protests had gone there this summer when Black Lives Matter was the topic at hand, and it would have been a different outcome. Fortunately, we didn't see that. Fortunately, we didn't see more bloodshed and injury than we did. And really, it's time to move on, and hopefully people can do that. I mean, obviously there are people who need to be arrested there. I was pretty disappointed to see that when the additional forces came in and removed these rioters from the Capitol, that they didn't seem to be making arrests. But fortunately, so many of them were so eager to live stream and put themselves up on social media. So it looks like they're making it pretty easy for the FBI to track them down. But, you know, there's going to be an inauguration in, 12 days? President's not going to be there. That's fine. He can just go away. That's really all I've got to say at this point, without having prepared a statement or anything.
Well done, my friend. Well done. Well, thanks for being on the show. I'm going to wrap it up.
Sure.
You got to get back to watching Cobra Kai on Netflix, don't you?
I sure do.
Season 3. We could talk about that for a second. What do you think of Season 3 of Cobra Kai on Netflix?
Well, I don't want to disappoint you if I were to say that it's not the greatest thing since sliced bread. But two, you know, I mean, I'm not all the way through, and I want to give it time to impress me more.
Which episode are you on?
We just finished the episode where Danielson and his wife tried to get Johnny Kreese thrown out of his dojo. And I guess Kreese beat up the landlord's goons.
Oh, okay. Well, there's exciting things to come for you.
I'm sure. I'm really excited for it to get even better.
Would you recommend?
I mean, mediocre is not bad, but
would you recommend people watch it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not that great, but you know. It's nice light watching when you want to decompress from all the serious things that have been going on the last few days. So, you know, it's not the best written, it's not the best executed, but it's fun.
It's a nice break from reality.
Yes, it's definitely far from reality.
Yeah, it's really a long ways away from reality.
If you love to see people get kicked in the face repeatedly and never have to go to the hospital, except one time, this is your show.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
All right. We will talk to you later. I'm going to wrap it up with What Did I Learn? Okay, what did I learn? What did I learn this episode? I learned a lot about the history of wisecracking that I forgot about. I, like, relearned. From my daughter. The budding young broadcaster out of Shakopee, Minnesota, who impressed me tonight. Good job, Emma.
Thank you.
All right. I learned that it's important to look at the facts and go through what happened before you give an opinion on anything. Not just January 6th, but anything that's just anything. I mean, take a minute, right and left side of the political spectrum, to know your facts
before you start running around and spouting off stuff, running into Capitol buildings, running down Lake Street in Minneapolis and burning stuff down. Breathe, take a minute, and get the facts of everything before you act. I've learned that I'm not as good of a NFL sports bettor than I thought. Turns out, producer Paul is a little better, and Emma is a little better.
Nah. I don't know what I'm talking about at the time.
And well, neither do I, apparently, which is okay. You know, it's fun to do anyway, right?
Right.
What else did I learn, Emma? Did you learn anything?
I learned the history behind Wisecracking.
Yeah? What did you think?
I thought it was very creative and cool.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That means a lot coming from you.
Awesome.
I guess that's it.
That's it.
I didn't learn a ton, but I had a lot of fun. It rhymes. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can. You can! On Facebook, there's a Wisecracking with Winter page, along with Twitter, Instagram. Oh, those are it. Those are the big three. I'm not on the Snap.
You should get TikTok. I think you'd get it.
I'm not on TikTok. I'm not making TikTok videos.
I'll make you a TikTok account.
For Wisecracking with Winter?
Yeah, and then we'll like record. We can make you a YouTube channel. And what you do is you record your podcasts, you know, you talking with your people, so people can watch it or they can listen to it. And then you post little previews of that YouTube video on TikTok.
Well, that's pretty smart. You get to work on that this weekend.
I will. That's fine.
Make sure you tune into Can I Make a Hit podcast done by my friend Rick Midson out of Great Britain. I'll be appearing on his show Saturday. What's the date tomorrow, Emma?
The 9th.
The 9th. I'll be appearing on his show talking about a condition called pod fade, which is when podcasters get burned out and stop doing shows. So I'm going to offer my expertise. That's Can I Make a Hit podcast? So
it's very good. Very good.
Don't forget to follow and like on all my social medias and give me a review on iTunes if you have a minute. I appreciate it. That is it for tonight. Sleep well, America. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.